liberty of the public for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen to that.
We'll move to agenda review. Do any of the commissioners wish to revise any items on the agenda tonight?
None.
No? Seeing none, we'll move to community comments. This is where we invite members of the public to come speak on items not on tonight's agenda. Does anyone wish to speak on any new items? Hearing none, I'll close the community comments and take it to written communications. I don't believe we have any supplemental.
None this evening.
Okay. And then we'll move straight to the consent agenda. 7A, approval of minutes for March 15th. Commissioners have any changes or comments?
I move we adopt the minutes for Tuesday, March 15th as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner King?
Yes.
Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
And Chair George?
Yes. So we'll start with the agenda 8A, the consideration for conditional use permit 15-009, construction of an approximately 7,200 square foot warehouse retail building. The location is behind 995 East Grand Avenue. The applicant is Kent Allen. The representative is Mark Vasquez, Norman and Vasquez Associates. Please get a staff report.
Thank you, Chair George, members of the Commission. As you mentioned, this is conditional use permit 15-009 for the construction of an approximately 7,200 square foot warehouse retail building. So the project site, it's zoned Fair Oaks mixed use. As you can see in this image, it's outlined in red. It's located behind 995 East Grand Avenue, which is the Ashley Furniture Building. Surrounding land uses include commercial uses to the north and east, and residential uses to the south and west. The proposed project, again, is the construction of a 7,200 square foot warehouse retail building. The structure is proposed to be one story, 28 feet in maximum height. In association with the project, 10 parking spaces will be provided on site, and it includes a delivery dock on the west side of the building. Mouse here. So here's the outline of the building. The applicant is showing the building being split into two separate tenant spaces. However, there are no tenants identified at this time. But again, the proposal is for warehouse retail use. The parking spaces will be located in front of the store on the northern portion of the site, with the loading dock on the west side of the building, and with the trash enclosure on the east side of the building. So the project site is zoned Fair Oaks mixed use. The primary purpose of this zoning district is to provide for the combination of retail and service uses, with an emphasis on those related to home improvement, as well as restaurants, offices, visitor serving uses, and multifamily residences. The retail warehouse use is permitted in the municipal code with the approval of a conditional use permit. And due to the proximity to residences and the potential issue for compatibility, conditions of approval have been included in tonight's resolution that do limit the hours of delivery, as well as some of the operational characteristics of the use to help ensure that compatibility is achieved. Now, the building itself is actually rather simple in design. It's more or less just a rectangular building. It will include vertical box rib siding, which is a metal siding, as well as a horizontal band about two-thirds of the way up. The applicant has identified awnings provided over the tenant spaces, over the two tenant spaces. I believe the applicant might be requesting, rather than canvas awnings, that there be leniency for metal awnings over the doorways to match the rest of the building. And over on this side, as you can see, is the loading dock area. This is enclosed more or less with a wall feature and then a covered trellis, all made of metal, again, to match the building and tie into the rest of the building. Primary colors will be browns, so a darker brown for the band, for the trim band, and for the steel posts, and kind of a not as dark brown, but still a darker brown on the main portion of the building, with the black on the awnings. So with regard to access and parking, access, both delivery and emergency, has been a big topic between staff and the applicant for this project. The primary customer access point is through the 995 East Grand Avenue parking lot. Coincidentally, that property is also owned by this property owner. In discussions with the applicant, staff did identify emergency access and delivery truck access being of key consideration. And in going through that, we decided that access for those two uses, emergency and delivery, would best come from Alder Street along the southern property line of 995 East Grand Avenue. This has been reviewed by Fire Department, Building Life Safety Division, Police Department, and it does meet the minimum requirements that they have for access roadways. And these easements for delivery purposes, at least, will be memorialized if and when the property owner sells either of the property. He can't grant himself an easement, but he can. There's mechanisms in place to allow, when the property transfers ownership, to memorialize those easements. And those are conditioned in tonight's resolution. With regard to parking is, you know, it's a hot button issue in the city. The project actually requires one parking space per 800 square feet of floor area, or one per employee and one per company vehicle. As I mentioned, there is no tenant proposed at this time, so we don't have those kind of use characteristics that we would use to determine the number of parking spaces required. However, looking at the overall size of the structure, it's not anticipated that maybe one company vehicle per tenant space, so two company vehicles, and then maybe three employees per tenant space, so a total of six parking spaces would be required. Actually requiring one per 800 would give you a 9 required, and 10 are being provided. So although no use is identified, it does appear that the parking requirements are met on site. And I don't know how well you can see this, and I apologize for that, but I did want to highlight the access component that I was discussing. So there are existing access easements on 995 East Grand and the adjoining property that will allow customer access back to the parking lot area of the project site. This truck turning diagram does show both ingress and egress being able to be accommodated through this southern portion of the 995 property from Alder Street through the site, allowing delivery trucks at least to back into the loading dock and then exit in a forward manner out to Grand Avenue. Additionally, because if there were a fire response emergency at this site, you know, the Five Cities Fire Authority would be responding from Station 1 here near the village. And so they would be heading westbound on Grand Avenue, which was another consideration rather than making the hard U-turn onto eastbound Grand through the site. That was part of what necessitated the discussion with the applicant on actually bringing the access from Alder Street through the lower portion of the 995 property and onto the site. So that this slide highlights that. Now, with regard to landscaping, the applicant's proposing to install 7 new crepe myrtles and 7 new purple leaf plum trees in conjunction with the project. Additionally, drought-tolerant ground cover will be provided, and the project will be required to meet the state model water-efficient landscaping ordinance as well. In terms of advisory committee reviews, the staff advisory committee did review this project a few times. We had a formal staff advisory committee review on February 24th, Again, main points of discussion at those meetings were site access, emergency access, and the design of the utilities, whether or not which best direction to get water and sewer utilities from. Overall, the staff advisory committee was in support of the project, and we developed conditions of approval that are included in tonight's resolution. Additionally, the architectural review committee did review the project on March 21st. At that meeting, points of discussion were the delivery access and emergency vehicle circulation on site. The fact that the property is very unique in regards to orientation and location, being kind of an odd-shaped lot without any direct access to a public roadway. And then, again, the issue of compatibility with the adjoining properties. However, even in light of that, the Architectural Review Committee was in support of the project and did include one condition of approval that's also in your tonight's resolution. The project was reviewed in accordance with CEQA and determined to be categorically exempt per Section 15332 of the CEQA guidelines, which are regarding infill development projects. And with regard to public notice, a notice of public hearing was mailed to all property owners within 300 feet of the project site, was published in the Tribune, posted at City Hall, on the city's website, and at the project site on March 25th. The tonight's agenda and staff report were posted at City Hall and on the city's website on April 1st, and staff has not received any comments or inquiries regarding the project. And that concludes staff's presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Matt. Does the commission have any questions for staff? Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yeah. On your A3 form, the overall site project, it looks like it's showing the access off of Grand and not off of Alder. Did that get changed? Because you had mentioned it was coming off of Alder, but it looks like it's...
So the sheet A3 does have the customer access coming from Grand Avenue. It does not have the delivery truck access and emergency vehicle access. But if you do take a look up here, making the right-hand turning movement on East Grand Avenue is the larger vehicle.
Okay. Do you have any other questions, Terry?
I just have a comment on the not having a tenant there because of the number of parking spaces that you calculated is based on just a generic. If you come in there with a facility that had more employees, how are you going to accommodate for those parking, or are you going to make sure that the occupant meets the 10 space guideline?
You do highlight a very important issue. As I mentioned, the 1 per 800 appears to be the parking requirement that does generate the most. But again, that is based on generic use information and some assumptions. So, what we would end up doing is when a use is proposed and owners come in for business licenses, we would be checking that information. And if additional parking spaces beyond the 10 are required, they would be required to find a shared parking allowances within 500 feet of the project site from an adjoining property owner.
That's all I had.
Commissioner Martin?
This might be a better question for the applicant, but is there any street signage or any accommodation for, you know, even addressing it, even if this ends up being, you know, warehouse retail, Glenn's used furniture store or something along that line? Say to me that I'd want to be able to put at least a modest signage of some kind out onto Grand.
I would defer some of that to the applicant in terms of if the property owner has considered it. Typically, we would refer to that as off-site signage, which is prohibited under the municipal code. So it does get into a little bit of a tricky situation. Do we consider this kind of a commercial center, which would allow maybe a monument sign with attendance listed? Or, you know, how best to go about that. If you'll notice in the staff report, because signs were not explicitly requested as being approved with this project, they were identified on the elevations. Any proposed signage does have to come back and comply with the municipal code and would be evaluated at that time.
Okay.
It's such a unique parcel. I mean, it's going to be virtually invisible from any street. Now, obviously, there is some visibility from Halcyon at this point because it's a big vacant parcel that's on the east side of that, but assuming that gets developed at some point, even, you know, residentially or some other kind of mixed use, any kind of two-story, structure on that Halcyon-facing parcel will make this invisible. And I first looked at this and thinking, oh, you know, warehouse isn't bad and storage isn't bad. And then obviously there's a retail component. My gut feeling is going to end up looking like either the radio shop or the furniture store that both are facing Grand Avenue, whether it's additional square footage or, a separate unique business of some kind. But anybody that has any kind of retail orientation would be challenged if they weren't allowed or if it wasn't accommodated of some kind in order to get, you know, signage out there.
That's correct.
That's my only comment.
Vice Chair Keane?
Not at this time. Thank you.
Could you point out to me the 10 parking spaces?
Absolutely. I'm going to switch site plans real quick. So this does show the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 spaces on the northern portion of the site, and then the 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 spaces adjacent to the building, this space being striped for ADA.
And the vehicle access won't be hindered by the parking, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. I'd like to invite the applicant to come speak.
Good evening. Mark Vasquez from Norman & Vasquez Associates. I'm representing the project. Matt did a good job in his staff report there describing the project, I think. It's a unique parcel. It's a parcel that I've actually worked on for a number of different owners for, 10 or 15 years, trying to come up with something that works there. It's difficult because of its size and shape to get something back there, plus it's just its location. It's not really suited for retail or offices or whatever, because once you get parking in for those kinds of operations, you can't get a building back there that works. So this seemed like it would work well for the property. It's kind of a similar use to what's being done there now, in that it would be a less trafficked type of a facility. And would provide its own parking and drainage and be a low visitor using type use. So we did that, one, because of trying to get something on the property that made sense for space, but then also to try to keep it compatible with the surrounding properties so that we're not generating a lot of traffic back there to create noise. We do realize that there is some noise associated with any commercial use, so we set the building the way that we did so we could use the building as a shield for the most part to the residential properties. We do have the loading dock, which would generate noise, but there are conditions in there that we discussed about having limited hours for delivery, turning off the trucks when they are there to deliver, and then also we did the enclosure around that area to try to control noise. Additionally, from a visual aspect, we didn't want to get a bunch of windows or anything opening back on the yards of these surrounding residences, so we made those walls where they would just be walls and tried to screen them and soften them with landscape. So we were just really trying to make it fit within the space that's allowed. Again, I'll say it's a tough situation. We do have the access, as Matt described, out to Grand Avenue for the general vehicle traffic that would occur. Our intent is that through discussions with staff and concerns on emergency access, that we would have emergency access from Alder, which would then have a gate across it, which would have a Knox type box so that emergency facilities could get through. And also the gate would be only open for deliveries when they're scheduled, so that normal vehicle traffic would not come from that way, either from an employee standpoint or from a customer standpoint. again, to try to keep the traffic down over on Alder Street from where the adjacent residences are. As Matt said, the building is fairly simple in design, again, because of its location. Once the property on Halcyon develops there, you're not even going to know this project is here because it's surrounded by buildings. It's going to be an island of its own in the middle. And to Commissioner Martin's concern about signage, that it was one of the things we were concerned about. That's one of the reasons, again, we go back to this type of a use that wouldn't require a lot of signage. But, you know, we had the concern that Matt raised as to we can't put signage off-site unless there's some kind of accommodation made for that. So at this point, we were just anticipating signage on the building, and it would be a low use where people would seek it out rather than be driving down the road, oh, hey, there's a store to go to, kind of a thing. So I guess that's pretty much what I could tell you about the project, other than, you know, again, because of its location and its the constraints that are upon it, there aren't many uses that can go in there and survive. We feel this is a use that can go in and survive. We don't have a tenant for it, but we feel that there's probably a need for it. One of the uses that was discussed was it kind of like a home base for a e-retailer, you know, where there isn't a lot of traffic, but they need a place to put their materials that they're going to ship out or whatever. And since that's becoming more popular, that might be an application that might go in here. So we came to try to get an entitlement so we can then start trying to find a tenant, because we'll have something that we can market. As to the access issue as far as the trucks and that, as Matt described, we have done the circulation patterns through there. We've looked at getting trucks through that property. It does work with a semi truck and trailer going through there, and that was one of the important things to make sure that we had adequate circulation. We also have it set up, and you can kind of see it, there's a Y-shaped element in the middle of the parking lot there, which as an example, if for some reason the fire department, instead of approaching from the east, was approaching from the west, they were on another call and they were coming, they could come down the main driveway, get in there, and they can actually turn around. They don't have to drive completely through. So we've accommodated emergency access from both directions. And I don't know what else to say about the project other than we would hope that you would find that it's a compatible use and it would fit the property. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Vasquez. Does the commission have any questions for the applicant?
No. Mark, would you explain to me the access lease arrangement from Grand Avenue to this project?
The access drive. The easements?
The drive, yeah.
Okay. And Matt, could you put that? The way that it works, and that's really light, so it's hard to tell on there, but you can see, that'll help. So you can see this is where the driveway is now that services both, this is the Ashley Home Furniture building, and this is the Rugged Radio building here. So the drive in between. And what there is there's the access comes down right through here. This is the property line between those two properties, the Rigor Radio and this. So there's an easement here that is beneficial for parking and access for these properties. There's an easement here which is beneficial to this property for access to the back. And that's how you get from the front to the back. It was done as part of back when this property was split off. So there is a normal access. This is a 25-foot wide easement here. And then this is a 40-foot wide easement, I believe, which includes the drive and the parking here. So the building here has parking on this side, which is exclusive to this building. This has an easement here, which deals with parking and access over here. And then this is just an access easement back to this property. There also happens to be a utilities easement down through here that exists also.
Would you point out to me the back corner of the radio building?
The back corner of the radio building should be... I think it's right back out here, but let me look on a printed card.
Hard to see on...
So I can see where that is. Okay, yeah. The back corner of the radio building should be, where's the button? Right here. The back of the building should go right across there.
Okay, and that parking lot in back of the radio building is parking for the parking count for that radio building.
Well, it's part of it because they have, now I did it. Wrong button. They have some parking spaces on this side up front that because the building itself runs straight down here to the street. So this is on their property and these parking spaces are theirs. And then there's additional space back here that is used for parking or
is
whatever.
Is that actually part of that property? That parking in the back?
Yes, that's part of that property. Yes, the property, that property for the radio, Rugged Radio, runs down here right to, this is where this particular property starts, right here. So this area from here to here is on their property.
Okay. There's two reasons for me going through this. One of them is that when I was there, this whole area here was parked with 5 or 6 company pickups. There was a motorhome here blocking that. Not blocking it. There was a motorhome there in their parking lot. A cargo trailer and another vehicle of some type. If you take this easement, they're going to lose 5 or 6 spaces there that they're using for just company vehicles, not up here where the customers come. And so I wonder how losing that space, those spaces to them, conflicts with their parking requirements.
When I can't speak to the current use that's in there, but when the parts store was originally built that was there, this easement was in place at that time. So that was not part of their parking. They're using that, and actually, to back up and give you a little bit more information, they're actually allowed to use that easement right now. There's a legal document between my client, this property owner here, and this property here, and them. They allow them to use that area behind that fence until they decided to develop this property.
I see.
And then they have to relinquish that. So that's why there's vehicles there now.
Okay. Thank you. When I was down there talking to the neighbor in the back, he was concerned about the difference of elevation between his property and yours right back in this corner.
Okay.
And how there was a problem with the elevation at that corner, making that sloughing off into his property. And he was wondering if you had any intention of, while you're moving all this, where the floor of that building is going to be down, where that will be more level with his building, or just the elevation there, that might require some retaining wall along that property line there. Could you address that for me?
Sure. That actually, what we're intending to do, and I guess I don't have a good visual in my mind right now, but from, I guess I need to use this again. From here, this direction, there's a block fence that's there now. I'm not sure about right in this corner, but there's a block fence along.
The fence stops about halfway.
Okay, all right. Our intent is not to fill the lot up back here. The building will be up for this to meet with the grade up here, but the ground behind the building will be down. It'll be down where it is right now.
Yeah.
Now, if we need to do something to avoid our property, our dirt, I guess, going onto their property, that's something we would address. Because we would need to address it as we go through the building permit process, and we don't want that to happen anyway. But the intent is that all this will be landscaped area, so we're going to want it to drain away from that. Right? So,
yeah, the drainage looks good. I just, he had concern of that, and I wanted to bring it up. That sheet you had a minute ago showed the two interior walls of that building or whatever.
That would be back. Whoops. That one?
Yeah, there. The loading dock pretty much looks like it's going to address this. What is your intention of this property over here needing to use the loading dock? Going to be an interior way to do that, or they're just renting a building without a loading dock?
Well, as you know, many buildings don't have loading docks.
Sure.
But our intention was that this would probably be a single occupant, but we're planning towards, you know, as things get smaller, you know, that they would have two potential occupants. Whoops, doggone it, hitting the wrong button again. So this would have the dock access into this space for sure. This space over here, if it was on its own, we would anticipate would not have a large truck like this coming into it. If it got split down to two spaces, we wouldn't see actually the loading dock being used significantly because there's just not as much space, so it would probably be used less. So this, on this side, we've provided an area over here for offloading, and there's a ramp actually over here that doesn't have to be here because the ramp for the ADA is over here, that you could get into this facility over here.
That's just a double door. There's not going to be room for a forklift.
No, we don't anticipate forklift traffic going through there. Again, like I say, we really anticipate it being probably a single use, but if it did split into a split use, that would be a lesser intense loading situation on that side.
As you know, I attended the ARC meeting for this project. There was some discussion about wanting a fence someplace. I don't remember, was it this corner or this corner?
It was right down here. The commissioner was talking about fencing this off so people couldn't find their way back here behind the building.
Is that in the conditions?
It is included in it's the very last condition of approval.
Okay, you don't have to.
But it is worded in such a way, and just to clarify, because the motion that was made,
it's the wrong staff report. I don't know where my staff report went.
The ARC's motion was made in such a way that the applicant should consider. So the condition of approval 101 says the applicant shall consider the installation of a fence at the southwest corner of the site to restrict pedestrian access to the rear of the building.
Thank you. That's all the questions I have.
Good evening. Can we go back to parking again, to the other slide?
Can you do that? I'll get it. There. We'll be everywhere.
So the access from Grand on the applicant side, you had said that parking was parking and access for the vehicle. So if cars are parked there, is there room for the vehicles to access?
Yes. The way that works is, this side of that easement is where the parking spaces are that are abutting the Ashley Home Furniture, and the drive is on this side, which then services also these spaces on the other side of the drive. So there's, it's a double, oops, yeah, it is a double-sided drive. And so that's the way that's currently operated. We're not changing that. Mm-hmm. That's the way that it works now.
And do you find that parking in has not been an issue in that area?
Well, I'm sure, as with any commercial area, there's probably parking issues in the area. I don't, this proposal wouldn't change the parking out here. It would change what they're doing back here, and then we're providing parking for this. So we don't think that this proposal back here will affect the parking out here.
And can you point out to me where the gate that you're talking about off of Alder will be, that will be closed when it's not in operation?
It's right here. This is the corner of the Ashley Home Furnishings building here, and there's a gate just back beyond that corner that would be closed so that it prohibits regular vehicle traffic through that area.
How tall is that Ashley building, do you know?
I don't know. I would guess, if I had to guess, 20 to 24 feet, somewhere in there.
I'm just wondering the need for the warehouse to be 28 feet high. Is there a need for it to be that high?
Well, the reason that we did that, and there's a section in the drawings, actually, we had shown that we would have like a 16 foot to the bottom of the roof structure inside, and then we've got it up that high to screen any roof mounted equipment so it wouldn't be seen. That's where the height came from. That was something that the planning department wanted, was the screening of that equipment. So that's what kind of generated that height.
So like 12 feet of screening, is that right?
No, there's 16
feet,
it's 16 feet from the floor to the bottom of trusses, and then you've got structure that's got to be there, and then air conditioning units are roughly 5 to 6 feet tall, depending on the size of them. Okay. So it's just a cumulative height to screen those. That's what we were trying to do.
So it's going to be taller than the Ashley building and possibly the Rugged building then?
Potentially, it could be taller than those. It's set a little bit differently as far as that height. So I can't say, you know, if you were to line them up exactly where it would be relative to those. Mm-hmm. But our intent, like I say, was basically we wanted to get about a 16 foot to the bottom of the structure, and then whatever the structure took plus the air conditioning units, and that's how we came up with that height.
Those are the questions that I had for you. Thank you very much,
Dave. Mark, when you look at that drawing there, at the height elevation, 20 foot clear on the inside there, underneath the trusses, that scale wise, from there up to the top of that, doesn't look like 8 foot to me. If that's 20 foot,
right? Can you get it? Do you have it the other side of the building, Matt? My print is too small here. That's what happens when you get old. You can't read quite as well. Do you have something you can see that the dimension I've got there?
Do the plans?
Yeah, that would help. Okay. The reason that it says it's 28 feet is because we're accounting for some of the slope. The structure from the floor to the top, as dimensioned on the plan here, is 26 feet. So we're trying to account for slope and some of that height.
Thank you.
Many feet down low.
That stucco building that's on the zero property line from House Inn, it's going to sit right next to this. Is it higher than that? It's two-story?
Oh, yeah, it's much higher than that.
It's going to be higher than this building?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Fowler Payne, did you have any questions?
So all the mechanical is going to be on the front side of the building, so it's not going to be a noisy issue for the adjacent residents?
Correct. That's okay. That was our intent.
Okay. That was it.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Vasquez.
Thank you.
Seeing no more questions, I'll open it up to the public for comment. Did anyone wish to speak on this item? Okay. Hearing none, I'll close. Oh, did you? Good evening, sir.
I'm Larry Rodkin. I'm the Fair Oaks Theater right on the corner of Grand Avenue and Alder. My concern is just the parking for the employees for Rugged and this new building, because they're actually parking along the side of Alder Street, and they stay there all day. And I got seniors that come to the theater, and there's no place to park for them, so they have to park two blocks away sometimes. So that's my concern.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you for giving us this opportunity to offer our concerns and try to find some solutions. I am the house at the back of the building, and on my map here I have copies.
Excuse me, may I please get your name for the record?
I'm sorry, yes, Betty King.
Thank you.
And on my map here, I drew a line where the block wall is, which is just the driveway part of our house. The block wall is right. And the property, we have a wooden fence in the back. It's sitting on a 1x12, and we have, I think, 1x8 fencing. And it is up against the fence. We keep reinforcing it. It is buckling, and we're going to have to do something with it. The way that it is now, we have the weeds, the grass, everything from the lot this high above where ours is. And my concerns before the meeting started was the noise level of the delivery trucks, what hours the residents, the birthing center there can expect activity, the dirt, the difference in the level of their lot and our lot. Are there going to be security lights? Are they going to be shining into our house? What kind of alarm system? Is it going to be a sensitive one like the car lots have, where it's going off random hours of the day and night? There is foot traffic that comes from Alder, from Grand, and from Halcyon, and from Wood Place. We have gone back there and asked people to leave. They're drinking, they're smoking. My husband got involved trying to rescue a young man that was being beat, and we called the police department. One of my solutions, if this project does go through, hopefully not that high, I would like to have a block wall that would be between our house and the proposed property, of a sufficient height that would help reduce some of the noise, and would also eliminate the possibility of the dirt coming over. And, you know, I think planting trees and everything is wonderful. Hopefully it's not going to end up in our yard like all the ones down the street do. And I would like to ensure, which it looks like, there's no entrance to the proposed building that will be installed that faces my house. And then also, it seems like there's no windows that are going to be installed that will be looking down on us, because it is, you know, higher property. So I thank you for your time and your consideration.
Thank you. Matt, can you address any of those issues?
Where would you like me to start?
The possibility of a block wall. Let's start there.
Obviously, you know, any wall structure that is proposed would have to comply with the municipal code maximum height limit for walls, which is a maximum of 6 feet in that location. So there is that possibility, but again, limited to 6 feet in height, and I don't know if that necessarily addresses the comment adequately.
Will a 6-foot wall reduce any noise?
Yeah, obviously a solid structure, particularly a block wall like that, would reduce noise more so than a wood fence would, yes.
I guess we should ask the applicant about lights then, security lights?
I believe there's a condition in there that does require that the lighting plan be reviewed by the police department. We do have municipal code requirements that say no more than, I believe it's a half a foot candle can spill out beyond the property line as well. So that will be looked at. But I'm sure any specific details, if the applicant has them, you could definitely ask him.
Can I ask the applicant if it's possible to address that block wall?
Again, Mark Vasquez. As far as the block wall goes, yeah, I don't think that that would be an issue. That sounds like the fence needs to be replaced. And again, I don't have a visual on it right now in my mind, but we definitely don't want the soil going back there, so some kind of a fence or wall would be appropriate. A masonry wall, I think, would be, at least at the base, would be necessary based on the comments that she made, so running the fence up shouldn't be an issue that way. As to the lighting, our intent was not to spill out into the neighboring properties, but to light the parking area for security. There's nothing on the back to get into, so there wouldn't be security lights oriented to the back, unless required to be.
Thank you.
And Chair George, if I may, there was the comment about the hours of operation. So condition of approval 32 actually does restrict delivery hours to 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Obviously, trying to get outside of the sleeping hours, as some businesses do have middle of the night deliveries. So we were trying to accommodate for that. One thing it does not include is days of the week. So it could be limited to Monday through Friday as well, if the Planning Commission sees fit.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item? Okay, hearing none, I'll close the comment period and bring it back to the commission. Commissioner Fowler Payne, do you have comments on this?
No, I don't.
No other comments.
Okay. Commissioner Martin?
Well, just a couple of comments on item 32. I'm wondering if 10 p.m., if that could even be modified just to accommodate the residential next adjacent to it. I want to say even, you know, whether that becomes a 6 p.m. or an 8 p.m., I'm not sure what typical deliveries are off hours for most kind of retail, you know, applications, but modifying that back might be inappropriate. I think I might just suggest 8 p.m. From a practical standpoint, I just can't imagine very many deliveries coming, you know, after about 6 o'clock, but if we get a written limitation to even 8 p.m., I think that's going to probably be a better thing. I don't have a problem. I think there's enough, the nature of trade these days, I think 6 days is a fairly normal thing. I don't have a problem with limiting or eliminating or, you know, Sunday deliveries. So Sunday delivery would not be allowed, at least they get 1 day a week. So if we can amend special condition 32 to 8 p.m. and no Sunday deliveries, I think that is appropriate in this. The other comment that I would make is adding a condition or amending another condition that may be already addressing this block wall to confirm that a block wall is installed to meet two conditions. One, just, you know, the erosion of soil across that property line and make sure that's protected. It sounds like there may be an elevation change. It may only be a foot or 2 feet between these two parcels, so that's not a significant issue, you know, from an engineering standpoint. But, you know, requiring a block wall of some kind to deal with that minor elevation and, you know, just in the soil at that point, but to increase that to 6 feet and run that along that entire southern, you know, length to provide some additional just privacy, you know, for the neighbors. My expectation is with fencing and the construction of a building, you're going to have a lot less transient and pedestrian traffic going through there than you even have now, just because it's just going to be developed and blocked off. So I think some of that will probably get resolved with the improvements assuming that a tenant is found and assuming these improvements are made. Those are the only comments that I have. I don't know where, what condition that gets added on or how that, condition 102 or, you know, however that gets, you know, it gets listed on there. But I think those are the only two comments that I have.
Thank you, Commissioner Martin. Vice Chair Keene wanted me to read something to you to hopefully ease your mind a little bit. It's the resolution number 33 in the conditions of approval. It's the delivery truck driver shall be instructed to turn off engines when trucks are parked or being unloaded. Sign shall be posted on the loading dock informing drivers of this restriction. Okay. Vice Chair Keene, comments?
Pretty much talked about all my concerns, and I think everything's been addressed. And I guess I'm ready to move forward. I want to make sure, not part of this, but I want to make sure that the radio place has adequate parking now if they take off that easement. Thank you.
I think that's a good point. If they're already using the streets as well, and it's, you know, conflicting with the Fair Oaks Theater, if now we're taking away more parking from them that they're using, even though it's temporarily allowed for them to use, where are they going to park those vehicles? So that might be something that staff might want to reach out to Rugged Radio and ask them if they have a plan of action for their parking. I don't have any other comments other than the two conditions that Commissioner Martin had already addressed, and I'm ready to move forward with a motion.
Chair George. So to clarify some of the conditions that Commissioner Martin pointed out, that would be modifying condition of approval number 32 to limit the delivery hours from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. And no deliveries on Sundays. And then we think it would be best if you wanted to add the block wall, just to add a new condition 102, requiring a block wall along the southern property line.
Yes.
Sure, I'll make the motion. I move the Planning Commission approve a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Rio Grande approving a conditional use permit 15-009 located behind 995 East Grand Avenue and applied for by Kent Allen with changes to condition 32 as outlined to limit time in the day of deliveries and with the addition of condition 102 concerning the construction of a block wall on the southern side.
Second.
We have a motion and second. Can we get a roll call, please?
Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Keene?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
Chair George?
Yes. And the motion carries. Thank you for coming and expressing your concerns. We'll move on to public hearing 8B, consideration of tentative parcel map 15-003 and planned unit development 15-003, subdivision of one lot into two lots and construction of a new single-family residence. The location is 316 Short Street, and the applicant is Wade Kelly. The representative, again, is Mark Vasquez. And if we could please get a staff report.
Thank you again, Chair George, members of the Commission. This is item 8B. And so looking at the project site, this site is zoned multifamily. The multifamily zoning district does run along the western side of Short Street from approximately Allen up past up to Nelson. The property is located on Short Street between Poole and Allen Streets. Surrounding land uses are largely residential to the north, south, and east, with the car dealership to the west. The proposed project is the subdivision of a 10,843 square foot lot into two lots, with those square footages resulting of 5,062 square feet and 5,781 square feet. Included with this proposal is the facade modification of the existing residence that's there, including the demolition of the single car garage. for the construction of a new two-car garage for that residence and the construction of a new 1,850-square-foot residence. So this is a site plan. This is the existing house that faces Short Street. Here is the outline of the existing single-car garage that's proposed to be demolished. The new two-car garage would be located behind the existing residence. Additionally, the new residence would be constructed back in the rear of the lot. And as you can see, it's a flag-shaped lot. And both properties would take access from the northern portion of the site via a shared driveway, which would be included or covered by a shared driveway and maintenance agreement for the two properties. So as I mentioned, the site is zoned multifamily. The purpose of this zoning district is to provide for a variety of residential uses, encourage diversity in housing types with enhanced amenities, or to provide transitions between higher intensity and lower intensity uses. In this case, staff believes it meets both, adding in the small lot single family residence, and it does allow for the transition from the car dealership to the more standard single family residences to the east. The parcel map can be approved, so obviously it is splitting a lot that would be a substandard to the multifamily zoning district. However, it can be approved concurrent with the consideration of the planned unit development, and this allows for the deviation from certain development standards. In this case, what we would be talking about is lot size, minimum lot size, as well as setbacks. One added layer to this project is that it is located in the Historic Character Overlay District and is therefore subject to the design guidelines for that district. And so with that, discussing architecture, really with this, the existing residence, there's nothing that necessarily says it has to be modified. The applicants are proposing to modify it and convert it to kind of a craftsman bungalow style. It would include the low profile of the structure. There would be the exposed corbels, the new roof gable, this added stone foundation, which I realize you can't see in this image, and then the gable shingles on the front. So it's taking something that was built in the 50s, 60s, largely stucco, and trying to conform it to the design guidelines. The proposed residence would be more of a two-story craftsman style, kind of more of a traditional craftsman style, not the bungalow. It would include the lap siding on all of the sides of the building. It would have the gables as well as gable braces, so these structures right here. The corbels again, and the dimensional composition roof shingles, as well as the gable shingles matching the other house. Color-wise, we are looking at kind of an inverse of colors. Again, it's not showing up very well on this computer, but essentially the trim on the main existing residence becomes the primary color on the new residence, and then some of the trim color is reflected in the main residence. So. Again, access and parking. It is access from Short Street via that shared driveway. Again, there is a shared driveway and maintenance agreement for both the driveway facility as well as the drainage facilities that are to be included with this project. Parking for a project such as this is required at 2 spaces per unit in an enclosed garage and half a space per unit for guests. So obviously each residence is being provided a two-car garage, particularly with the demolition of that single-car garage up front and relocating that structure behind. And then there is one guest space provided adjacent to the existing residence. So popping back over to the site plan, the guest parking space would be located right here. With regard to landscaping, a new purple leaf plum and a new crepe myrtle tree will be planted in front of the existing residence. Drought-tolerant landscaping and ground cover will be installed, all in accordance with the state's model water-efficient landscaping ordinance. One interesting thing, because these are private spaces for the residences, the applicant has proposed not identifying any plantings in there, kind of leaving it up to the future homeowner to decide what they want to plant in their private spaces. However, these model water efficient landscaping ordinance does apply to that as well. So even though it's not being identified tonight, it'll still be in compliance with that ordinance. Additionally, Public Works is requiring a purple leaf plum tree to also be included as a street tree out in the sidewalk parkway that's been filled in. So wanted to touch on that as well. And in terms of advisory committee reviews, the staff advisory committee did review this project in the beginning of March. Main points of discussion at that meeting were utility undergrounding, so there's a lot of overhead electrical wires that will be undergrounded as part of this project. Additionally, the site access, so that common driveway feature, and discussing how the maintenance agreement will work and the maintenance of the common areas. So again, that drainage facility underneath the driveway and the annual maintenance of that. Overall, the staff advisory committee was in support of the project, and the conditions of approval are included in your resolution. The Architecture Review Committee also reviewed the project on March 21st. They did feel that the architectural style of the new residence met the design guidelines. They also felt that the modifications made to the existing residence were very welcomed and were in compliance with the design guidelines as well. They actually hoped that more of the residences on that street would do the same thing. They commented on the appropriateness of the project for both the site and they discussed the driveway width as well, ensuring that adequate driveway width was provided. Overall, the members were in support of the project and did recommend approval of the project as submitted. The project was reviewed in accordance with CEQA and found to be exempt per section 15332 of the CEQA guidelines. That's the infill development exemption again. And a notice of public hearing was mailed to all property owners within 300 feet of the site, was published in the Tribune, posted at City Hall on the city's website and at the site on March 25th. The agenda and staff report were posted last Friday on the city at City Hall and on the city's website on April 1st. And again, staff has received no comments or inquiries regarding this project. And with that, that concludes staff's presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Matt. Can you clarify the definition of a planned unit development? Does it include two residences?
It does, yes. Particularly in the multifamily zoning district, single-family detached residences are permitted to be constructed on substandard lots with the planned unit development approval.
And does that require CC&Rs along with them because it is a PUD, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. Usually we do require those on the larger PUDs that we do, where you're getting into more than just two property owners. Right. In this case, it was felt that the driveway maintenance agreement was adequate to cover the concerns that staff had on that item.
Thank you. Do the commissioners have any questions for staff? Vice Chair Keane?
No, I was at that ARC meeting. And the discussion I remember about the driveway was they thought it was too wide, not that it wasn't wide enough.
You might be remembering that clearer than me. I thought it was not wide enough.
Pretty much that was there was a lot of discussion about that neighborhood and do it and this kind of things, but it had nothing to do with the property. They just wanted to talk about it, I guess. That's all I have. Thank you.
Mr. Martin?
No comment.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
No comments. Having done the same thing on the other end of Short Street in the past, I just know that this design is consistent with the PUDs on Short Street.
Okay. Hearing no other questions, we'll invite the applicant to come speak. And if anyone in the audience has a comment, if you could fill out a speaker slip. I forgot to ask earlier. It just makes it easier for Debbie to do her job. We'd really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Good evening again.
Good evening again, yes. Here we are. Again, Matt did a great job in presenting the project here to you as to the overall concept of it. I don't have a lot to say other than it. I think it fits the property well. It provides housing. It meets the density requirements for that zone. It is set up such that it will allow two property owners to live there, I'll say semi-independently because they're tied together by the driveway and the maintenance of that. But I think it just provides more housing that fills a need that's in that area. So, and I think that it fits within the, as Matt mentioned and ARC did, it fits within the design guidelines and enhances the area rather than detracts from it. So I don't have a whole lot to say other than I hope that you find the same way and approve the project, and I'd be happy to answer any questions on it.
Thanks, Chair King. Do you have any questions? No. Commissioner Martin?
No.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
No.
I have none either.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to invite the audience. Does anyone in the audience wish to speak on this item? No? Okay, hearing none, I'll close the comment period and bring it back to the commissioners for comments. Vice Chair King, do you want to start?
I'm ready to move forward. I don't see any thing that would restrict me from wanting to approve this project. Thank you.
Martin?
No comment.
No comments.
Well, I'll comment. I think it's a pleasant design, and I think that it adds additional much-needed housing in our community, so I think that's a benefit. It's an infill without impact, and I always appreciate that, so I'm ready to move forward as well. So I move that the Planning Commission adopt the resolution to approve the tentative parcel map 15-003 and planned unit development 15-003 located at 316 Short Street.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Get a roll call vote, please.
Chair George?
Yes.
Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
And Commissioner King?
Yes.
The motion carries. Thank you. And we have no non-public hearing items tonight, so we'll move to the notice of administrative decisions since March 15th. Looks like we have 214 North Alpine, the establishment of a large family daycare of up to 12 children in an existing residence was approved. 306 Short Street, a new single-family residence with attached secondary dwelling unit and minor reductions to setbacks was approved, as well as 1480 East Grand, the establishment of a new foot spa and installation of one new wall sign was also approved. Do you have any questions or comments regarding that? No? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move to commission communications. Do the commissioners wish to communicate?
No? I just have one to share, that I was at the French Street extension overlay. What are we calling that update?
East Branch Streetscape Plan Phase 2.
Anyway, streetscape. That's a tongue twister. This was our last meeting, and we did come up with a design, and I have the plans here if anybody wants to look at them. We've approved the design and the fencing and the landscape and the parking. We went with a design that had the least amount of an impact on the off-street parking or on-street parking, because we already have issues with parking in that area anyway. So they should be moving forward with that. So, the other thing was, and this is not a comment with regard to that, but when I went to the Short Street project site, and I don't know when you guys went by there, there was a boat parked right out in front of the house, right directly in front of the sign. And when I drove down the side of the existing driveway that goes back to the old Christensen property, those people back there didn't even realize that sign was out there because the boat was obstructing that view. So the comment is, in the future, maybe adjusted one side to the other or something, or let the people know not to park. Because if the immediate property owner didn't see it there, then I'm sure other residents out there didn't. And how many people go online or...
I had a comment as well regarding the minutes. Let me see if I can pull up. So when we look back at the ARC minutes that are provided for us, it kind of helps us get an idea, for those of us that don't attend the meetings, roughly what they discuss. And I just feel like the minutes are a little lacking in detail. I know we don't need a full description, but just some key points in the minutes would be nice. And I also noticed that with our minutes that we approved earlier tonight from the last meeting, the same thing is we had made pretty specific comments that we spoke about in great detail, and it would be nice to see those on there so that if at any time our minutes gets passed up to the City Council to review, they can at least have some key points of what we discussed. So maybe just a tiny bit more information on the minutes, not a ton. I don't want to make more work for you, but the key points that were addressed would be nice. Any other commission communications?
Nothing significant.
Just the comment from me. I know that we've got a training event that's optional for us later this week, and I'm thank you very much. I'm looking forward to attending not only this training event, but others, if I have the time and the ability to attend. Thank you.
I'll second that. Okay. Staff communications? Do we have any staff communication?
A couple follow-ups. The East Branch Streetscape Plan concept will come before you. We're shopping it through. The recommendation from the stakeholders group will be shopped through various commissions and committees, and so that will come before you on May 3rd, tentatively scheduled. And there are a couple, first I wanted to follow up on the request on the minutes. So several years ago, we went from full lengthy minutes to action minutes, essentially just acknowledging, that the project description was delivered and the who spoke and then the action that commission took or committees, for example. We do try to put a few points in there, but that's the reason behind why they're so sparse. And that was simply when we had to downsize in staffing, and those were measures we took several years ago. However, we do try to put, main points in there, and we'll try to be certainly cognizant of trying to get a little more meat in those minutes when ever possible. So thank you for
just
that.
Just like full-on cheapo Cliff Notes version, back to the old days is all we need. Thank you. Okay, I appreciate that.
And yeah, I just wanted to acknowledge the training opportunities. We're going to try this out and see how it goes. I have to admit that I have not reviewed this particular one before, so I'm hoping that it'll be exciting and informative. We'll see how they go. Generally, these types of webinars being provided are pretty good. So, and then let's see. We have a small business, just information, a workshop we're putting on in conjunction with several nonprofit agencies for small businesses interested in using Google and Yelp to help their business get out there. And so we're going to be conducting that workshop here April 21st. And so look for more information on that. And the Downtown Parking Advisory Board is going to host a workshop community meeting regarding parking in the village on April 20th in the morning. So we're also providing that opportunity to listen to businesses in the village specific to parking concerns. That concludes my contributions to staff comments.
I think that's a great, the village parking is a great issue to address. My question for you regarding social media with that is the City of Rio Grande does have a Facebook page, and currently they just post cryptic links, if for lack of a better word, onto it. But stuff like this would be fantastic, the small business workshop. That's wonderful for our community, and if there's a way to expand on our social media on the city Facebook page to be more than just a link, because a lot of people don't click on the links, they just scroll right through. I think you would see a greater turnout.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion, and I'll be happy to talk to the city clerk about that.
Okay. I move that we adjourn the meeting.
Second.
Meeting adjourned.
Slam.
Did anybody else want to look at this streetscape? Did you want to look at it, John? Or do you have one?
Thank you.
That, this paper here.